Welcome everyone to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. And today we have a very special guest on, Susan Gray. Now, Susan, you've got a long career in talent. You've had your own recruitment companies. You run global talent at companies today. What we're going to be talking about is something that's really passionate for you. It's strategic talent. How do we look below the surface? How do we find the time and the passion to dig deep and really create meaningful connections that mean we bring in and we create the right teams that grow our businesses and we make that end-to-end connection? How do we think about it? How do we do that? And I'd love to turn it over to you to maybe expand a little bit on your background, because you gave me some really great sports analogies, raising three sons, and the time that you spent in the Galapagos Islands that I think everybody would really love to hear a little bit about, because it's a mindset, but it's a way for us to start thinking as we start digging into the subject matter here today.
That'd be great. Thanks so much, Steve. So I'll move forward with a couple of analogies we started talking about. We'll start with the Galapagos. I was fortunate enough to spend a couple of weeks in the Galapagos late summer last year. And if, for those of you that haven't been there, it's a very biodiverse and you get to see, although it's a small area, how different islands are. When we talk about diversity, even the color of the sand is different on these different islands, which are very, very close together. But what amazed me the most is we think about talent so many times. We make decisions based upon visuals. You're probably making decisions about me based upon the way I look, how I communicate. So what I'm saying, and you make these snap judgments about a person or what you feel about them. I think what was so amazing to me is what went on beyond the physical. And as you go to the islands, there's the island mass, but they're islands because they're surrounded by water. So when you went underneath the surface, you had a whole greater understanding of the world that we lived in and how it was just so amazing to see how different things work together. So if you think about strategy, being able to see how different things work together, that's a huge part. It's the whole ecosystem of what we're doing in talent. The second analogy being sports and Super Bowl's coming up in a couple of weeks. And if you think about any type of sports, it's not only having the most talented people on the team, but it's having people that play well as a team together. So you've got to have the strategy and you have to have the right people on the team that really are working together, communicating effectively. And you have to be prepared for the unknown, because great analogy of football, there's always somebody getting hurt. You have to know who's on your injured reserve, because you're always losing people from recruit. From a workforce standpoint, who can you put in if the person you thought was going to do a job can't? And what are those skill sets you need to work on the team and drive performance?
I love that. I think you just gave a mini version of our whole entire podcast, which is fantastic. But what I do is I want to start out, and there's another dynamic to this about building and thinking about strategic talent and building the organization for success, creating stronger relationships between HR, between talent, between the leadership of the company. Tell me a little bit about that and what you're thinking.
I think we're fortunate that we live in the world we live in, because technology is now enabling us to utilize automation and ways to communicate from a team space that we never could. And to ensure that we're providing people not only what our words are saying, but the documentation so they can read it and communicate in the way that they communicate. So, you know, what I found, it's really important to be meeting with your business leaders and understand the business direction and what part talent plays in it, but also your business partners and your people and culture partners to ensure you're aligned and ensure your goals and your alignment in terms of what you're working on are looking at things the same way. So perfect timing. I just got off a prioritization with my program manager globally. And I think one of our biggest challenges in talent is we have a million things to get done. What are our priorities and what's critical to get done versus what's not? But what we've started to do is utilize a team space, get all of those action items down, and then prioritize them and say, what sprint versus what's going to take longer, what's critical versus what's not, and what is that standard work to ensure that no matter where you step in, you have a similar experience. It's like going in like a Westin. They always have that same scent when you walk in. You want to ensure your experience from a talent organization, acquisition organization, is the same no matter where you step in globally. There's that familiarity and you know what to do at each step in the process.
I love that. That talent experience.
Experience is everything.
Yes. Yes. In fact, to echo that point, there was a big study that McKinsey and Company did on the importance of customer experience to the overall company. They looked at over 400 companies that were highly profitable in both the B2B, B2C space, and that gave the largest return on shareholder value. And what they found is the biggest differentiator for those companies was CX, was customer experience. So that starts at the beginning, because we know a great customer experience is tied to great employee experience and how engaged they are, which starts with the very beginning, with the talent acquisition, the very first time that they touch the company. And they're interviewing you as much as you're interviewing them. And are you a company that they want to be a part of? So I love that you talked about digging deep and strategic, thinking about what is that acquisition experience like? And how is it consistent? How are we controlling that? What's the story about? Tell me how that comes to life. Tell me like why you brought that up, why that's so important.
It's a great question. I got out of a call right now. So we rolled everything globally. And you think about it, in most organizations today, you have hiring managers and they may have team members that are around the globe. So they want to know, do you know what I mean? Like, what do I need to do and what is the timing and who do I need to work with? What can I expect? So I think a lot of it stems from really making sure we have a process map. We're continually working on it to ensure it's efficient, effective. We're hiring on a timely basis and people know what to expect. I find people, if you think about any West, it's like the weather here in Houston snowed for the first, like it never snowed. It's like people want to know what to expect. So if they know what to expect and they know what their role is, you're going to have a bunch stronger performance because you'll get what you need. They'll get what they need and you can drive it forward.
I want to have enough time to get to all the levels of strategic talent. And so I'm going to move to another level here. And that's, you talk about tools. You talk about market data. What is this? How does this play a role in what you're doing in talent acquisition, in strategic talent?
Great question. I think there's a few different things. I'm a firm believer in this world. It's just like, I'm going to use an analogy. If you look and you're playing a team, you're looking at their tapes. So you've got to know who your key competitors are. You've got to know how you're performing against them from an analytics standpoint. If you're doing X on LinkedIn, what are they doing? Are you at par? Are you different? Where are your differentiators? You've got to go in and look at their career pages, how they're posting, like what makes you different and why somebody would join. So that's one level, is that competitive analysis and those vectors of differentiation, if you will. A second is we utilize doing a plug for them, but LinkedIn Talent Insights to really go in. And many times you'll have a hiring manager and they'll go and they're building something. And I think they're commonly called a purple squirrel or a flying unicorn, but the person doesn't really exist. And I find having market data to support based upon what you said, there's only one person in all of LinkedIn for this, or this is the demand. So if we take away this or we use this job title. So it really is that bargaining. I know you said all this. Do you really need all this training? Like, can you develop on? But it's starting with the market dynamic. I think that's important. Another place we use market dynamics and such is I utilize Gartner to really say, okay, who's doing what from a best practice standpoint? What are the things rolling out? Yeah, I think as talent leaders, we have to constantly be talking to our peers and see who's doing what from an AI perspective. What are those automation features coming into the future? So you have all that data as well. And then you've got to be looking at your own metrics. So what did I do last year? What am I doing this year? How am I trending? This worked last year. Is it working this year? Because the good thing about technology is we can look at numbers more and more to track what is effective and what's not and get out of saying, I'm going to do it this way because I've always done it this way.
You started answering that question. I thought you were a chief marketing officer for a moment because you started talking about competitive advantages and looking at the competition, points of differentiation, and so important. We all have to know our audience. We have to know our competition, who we're up against. And so what you talked about is we need to be constant students in what we're doing here. But at the same time, what I took away from what you're saying is you're constantly working with hiring managers globally and resetting expectations, defining the roles with them based on reality, based on what's out there, based on what their desire is, what they need for their high performance team members. But you are a consultant to them, is what I took away from that and getting to that point.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of it is asking my team members to be that person. I love the word why, but it really is understanding, why do you need this? Why is this a good opportunity? Why would somebody want to do this? What can they accomplish? It's like having that who, what, why, when, where. But you need to be effective in terms of having your questions up front and knowing your job is to ask the questions. You may not have the answers, but don't assume you have the answers if you haven't asked the questions.
So in all of that fact-finding, the collaboration, the why, the asking the questions and everything, that leads to what you had talked about is the importance of storytelling and talent acquisition. Tell us what you mean by that.
Thank you for asking that question. So if I come from a storytelling, joke-telling family from way back, and I remember it's such a lost art, if you will, but the importance of personalizing the story so you can have numbers out there, you can have metrics out there, but people relate to people. People relate to actual things that happen. So when you're recruiting, you need to be able to help people understand, give them an example. Like if I'm talking about my CEO, who's amazing, but I think you need to give examples of things that have happened that share what you're trying to share. So I'll give you an example. This morning, we have on a monthly basis something, you know, which are like our employee resource group meetings. And we recently rolled out a wellness group to talk about life balance. So to be able to get through the communication, it's having people give examples. How do you balance your life? So one person, it's meditation. Another, it may be working out. Another, they got a puppy, so they need to take the puppy for walks. And I think what you find so many times, it's those experiences and being able to tell the story and personalizing it that makes you become more relatable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's another dynamic on that. We actually remember things 22 times better if it's told to us in the form of a story. When you're consulting with your hiring managers, you're telling a story about what's it like, what's the culture like to work here in the environment, the team. You're going to tell a story. You're going to tell a story that's going to be very meaningful. Being a good storyteller and being able to communicate in that way is so important. And I'm glad in our previous conversation, you brought it up as a big priority. So I wanted to make sure I gave you a chance to talk about that. But how does that play into telling stories internally, like the role of communication and collaboration inside the company itself?
That's a great question. I think all the things we've already talked about, I think it's knowing your numbers and being able to provide examples. I'm a big analogy person. So as you've probably been able to tell, a lot of times I'm drawing things from, this is an example of something that's happened, but it's being able to relate to the person. And anytime you have metrics to back up or numbers to back up what you're recommending, it helps you all the more to get to that next step.
Makes good sense. I want to now ask you something that I think might be one of the more important questions that we talk about on the podcast is that we know about the importance of culture. We talked briefly about it earlier here. You're working in a global nature. You have offices throughout the world. How do you help articulate, tell the story, manage the culture of the company? And how important is that in actually the talent acquisition strategy that you use?
That's a great question. So I'm going to do my best to answer the question you asked, but I'll give you examples. So we're rolling out what we call a talent value proposition. And as we get there, a big piece of what we did was interview over 500 of our employees globally in their own language to understand the experience of working for us and looked at what those similarities were. Like, I think what's really important when you talk about culture, it's not just who you aspire to be, but who are you? Why people join you? Why do they stay? How that works to make a difference. As we take that, and then I think it's celebrating those values when people show them, but it's having places in place to recognize the behaviors that you want to see. I think there's another aspect. It's being able to tell the story externally. So a big once we finalize what our Nutella value proposition is, or our first one as a company, it'll be, we're looking at updates to our career page. What are those images? What shows this is what it's like to work here. We're looking at updating the communications that are automated that come out of our applicant tracking system, because it all goes together. Your messaging has to all go together. We're looking at making sure as we send emails to candidates, all that information is similar, and how we communicate on social media. How are we communicating who we are? So I think a lot of it is how you celebrate success. The other piece that I find so fun, and I'll give an example, is about a week ago, I learned that our India office was off and got to learn about a really cool holiday. And I don't have the name of the holiday, but it's so cool because it's every January and I'd never heard of it. And I worked with India for years, but it's the end of the winter solstice and the beginning of the change in season. And they celebrate the end of the winter solstice in the sun. And as part of it, they celebrate by going out and flying kites because it gives you that good vitamin D. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. It's so important when you do work culturally across the globe is to have those holidays. We're putting together a whole holiday calendar, but understanding those customs and those rituals and the really cool things. Another one of my favorite holidays in India is Brother-Sister Day. I have two brothers and an only sister, and they do all kinds of cool stuff with their sisters. So I, of course, thought that was really cool. But I think you've got to understand the different cultures, the different customs, the different holidays, and have that be a part of who you are and take the time to learn about them. It's just it's invigorating to learn about how people live across the world.
It is. And to be able to share those stories and learn from those stories. And if you were to connect the dots specifically on the company culture and its impact on your ability to attract high performance candidates, how would you connect those dots?
It's a great question. I mean, for me, and we're still finalizing ours, one of the things that stands out to me with our executive team is I'm fortunate to work at Vontier. And at Vontier, we're in a business that is really focused in terms of making the world a better place. So we won a number of awards last year in terms of our environment sustainability, in terms of the alternative energy and some of the things we're doing. And knowing that is important to our chief executive team, our chief executive officer, our chief administrative officer, that whole team is focused on that. That's really a cool feeling to know you're working for a mission-based company that is really focused on saying, as a result of what we do, we're not only making profit, but did we do things so that my kids have a better world?
And it's wanting to be a part of that mission.
And you want work matters.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a part of that story that every company can tell. You don't have to be in the sustainability business, but every company has a goal, a mission, values that they have, that they're proud of, that they're making a difference. And if that's a part of what that story is and a part of that recruitment process, we all want to be a part of, back to your sports analogy, we want to be a part of a winning team. We want to be a part of a team that's doing things and accomplishing things. And we don't want to join a team that's falling apart. So telling that story is really important. So another line of thinking here, and that is that since you recruit across the world, do you work with BPO partners, like outsource partners?
I have not directly, but in India, yeah, we do. So it's a great question. But I do find, like, if we work with an agency, with very few agencies we work with, what's really important to me is they have to reflect our cultural values, because anybody that's going to speak to a candidate or bring in somebody, integrity has to be there. They have to know our story. They have to be true partners. So it's not just who can find the right person, but are they somebody that you feel confident is going to reflect who you are? No, it's huge.
Yeah. You extended the question I was going to ask there, which was, how does a BPO partner become a part of this culture if it's so important? But the bottom line is that they have to understand it. They have to adopt it. They have to represent you as if you were a part of the team. What haven't we covered that you would want to say on the podcast about strategic talent and digging in deeper and creating those high performance teams internally? What haven't we covered that's important?
Yeah, I think the key thing, and I just read a great quote about this, and I think it came from Richard Branson last night, so I don't have the quote, but the general meaning is, for me, I think it's so important, even more so with AI, to not assume somebody by a resume. And taking the time to get to know who the person is and not stereotyping by age, by skin color, by gender, by where they work, by where they've gone to school, by what they're currently doing. I had somebody spoke to a couple weeks ago for an executive role that what they're doing is exactly what they've checked that box. They don't want to do it again. So kind of like the travel analogy, don't just assume because somebody went someplace, that's where they want to go again. So I challenge everybody from a strategic standpoint to really go take the time to understand where that person wants to go and why and what's important to them, but don't assume where somebody wants to go based upon where they've already been.
I love that. If I could ask you throughout your entire career, what you're most proud of, what would you say?
It's a great question. I am so fortunate to have worked with some amazing people who I've learned so much from. So I think life is a journey and it's the experiences of the people that you work with that make the impact. It's all about the people. So it's the friendships, it's the business performance, it's putting in programs to help people actualize, and it's the day-to-day work. I think the fun part is what can we do tomorrow? But it's the people that are part of who you are. And I mean, nothing makes me happier than seeing people that have been part of my team or that I've worked with or that I've hired do amazing things or accomplish. They told me these are my goals and then they accomplish them. I think that's the best part of being in a talent role is people tell you where they want to go and you help them get there. How many other jobs do you have where you can help people self-actualize?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. I only have one more question because we've talked about a lot. We've covered a lot of territory so far. But if there was one important takeaway that you wanted the people to take away from the podcast here about strategic talent, what would that be?
Never assume. Like, don't look at things and assume you have the answer. Important part of a good strategy is asking the right questions, understanding the situation before you determine your actions and what you're driving to attain the results, and constantly be looking at, is what you thought was going to happen, what happened? And if not, taking quick action for amend it. One of the things we do is like a fleet management. I think about like if for all of us have GPS in our cars today and how many times you leave the house and GPS tells you this is the fastest way to go there, but it can't tell you the person in front of you is going to get in an accident or can't predict like what happens in real time. So I think the key thing is just like GPS, we know the direction you're going in, but always have those alternate plans. You have to know if this doesn't happen, what else are we going to do? And not be afraid to take action. The final thing I would say is, as a Libra, you know, somebody that spent most of her life trying to blend and make things balanced, don't worry, make a decision and start driving forward. But action brings traction. I've seen more people paralyzed by the analysis. Take the action to drive yourself forward. You never know until you do it.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
No, you do. You can overanalyze it for days and things are always going to change. So take action, go on that path. Another one, just don't make assumptions just because you read about anything. How many times are assumptions wrong?
I know that people are going to have questions after seeing this. And would it be appropriate that we gave out a link to your LinkedIn profile so people could reach out to you and connect?
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
That's fantastic. Susan, thank you so much for coming on and digging so deep into all the ways that you think about your role as a strategist in talent and how it fits into the business. I guess I have one last question because a lot of what you talked about, you could take away and say, wow, I don't have time to do all that. I don't have time to dig into my competition. I don't have time to be reading up on the industry. I don't have time for this and that. What do you say to people as a parting bit of advice when they say, I'm overwhelmed, I don't have time to do the kind of things you're talking about here?
It's a great question. I think you've got to look at, if you don't do it, you're probably wasting time. So like doing your competitive intelligence, market intelligence is going to get you to your destination quicker than just going in and not knowing where you're going. So even though you want to take action, if you're not prepared, it's going to take you 10 times longer to get to your destination. It's going to take you longer to get to the hire. So the more you understand what differentiates yourself, the more you understand your geographic locations, like, and why somebody would want to live there, cost of living. You're going to get to your destination faster. So do your homework up front, because it's going to get you to where you want to go faster. It'll cut down your time to fill, get you better hires. So why would you not do the strategy up front?
So glad to ask that question. Thank you. And just thank you for coming onto the podcast and sharing with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.